Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Shit. Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have Shit Show Josh. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. How long has it been now? A year?
I think it's like almost 9 months.
Oh, wow. Feels like it's been forever.
I know.
You found out about it from Jesse, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Jesse.
I met him in a online... we actually used many networks as well. An IFS group therapy. It was like, you know, I think it was 8 months or something. And we did a part one, part two. I think he was just there for the part two. And I just really connected with him and another guy. And we started doing like work on our own outside of that. And then he introduced me to the Shit Show. And one thing that really resonated with me about the Shit Show was that I just have a high value for confessional communities. So that's like living in spaces where it's safe to share without judgment or, you know, consequence. You know, you just show up as you are and you share. One reason I really like, you know, the AA model or models like that, where you come and you just share openly. Yeah. So I was just like, and I listened to some episodes. I was like, I got to get in that shit, you know.
Give me that shit. Okay, so what song do you want played when you walk into a room?
Okay, in honor of my inner teenager, Fat Lip by Sum 41.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That was funny enough. That was the song, like, whenever I would go bowling. I think I started doing it to places too, or if I was like, I skateboarded in high school, so I would like, I would start playing that chorus in my, or like, you know, like, it would get me in like that.
Like
that,
a bowling.
No, like, seriously, I would get turkeys whenever I would do that. Like, I'd get it like this vibe
in
state.
The zone.
Yeah, like, I was like at this elevated state in my mind that just put me on like cloud nine. I don't know what it is about that song or that riff with the guitar, but.
Did you used to play Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Not 4. I mean,
not
I was
4.
Probably 1 and 2. Yeah.
I played 4, I think. Yeah. It was fun. I was good at that.
PlayStation, man.
Good old PlayStation. Okay, so what's your favorite carbohydrate?
I'd say a baked potato with cheese.
Okay. Are you going to have anything else on it or just cheese?
Just cheese. I'm a plain kind of guy, you know?
Yeah, well, I already
remember,
know.
We don't like the condiments.
I know!
As much.
Cheese. What kind of cheese?
Cheese dip.
Like queso?
Like queso. Like I could eat that every day.
You could bathe in it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could shower in it. I mean...
Okay, anywhere. And we know you love ketchup.
No ketchup, please. I say we now a lot because of like the IFS work I've done.
There's a part of there that you haven't connected with yet that fucking loves ketchup.
No. No part of me likes ketchup.
Did you have a bad experience with ketchup?
You know, I thought about this. I mean, I think I know that picky eating is oftentimes an outlier from, or, you know, it's mm-hmm. caused by sensory sensitivity, specifically oral sensitivity, right? And I know that I had those issues as a kid. And so, but I think how my dad and my brother specifically treated me around those things, like, why aren't you trying this? Why aren't you eating this? Mm. Part of me was like, fuck you. I'm going to do my own thing. You know, like, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me I should eat. Like, I'm going to eat what I want to eat, you know, not because you told me to eat it. So there's definitely some like rebellion in there around like, no, I'm going to. Like, why would I eat something that I don't like? I don't understand. Like I'm gonna be open about what I'm gonna be open about eating, and you're not gonna tell me what I want to eat or don't want to eat. Thank you.
You weren't like traumatized by watching that movie Big Daddy with Adam Sandler when the kid like only ate the ketchup? Remember that?
No, I only remember one memory of like,
Ketchup.
trying to try. I even tried to like honey mustard, and I ate it for a little bit, and then I realized I'm only enjoying this because I'm enjoying feeling kind of normal while doing it, not because I genuinely like this. Like I was trying to like it more than I actually liked it. It's like, no.
You were liking that you thought that you liked it.
Yeah, well, it was like I liked the sense that I wasn't being shamed anymore because my brother and my dad would always shame me around like not eating certain foods. So.
Well, I just want people to know that you are welcome in this community if you don't like ketchup, but we only have a few spots available for you. Take five at a time, maybe two. What condiment do you like? If you had to pick one,
I really
you're like
enjoy,
air.
huh?
Air.
Air is probably my favorite condiment. Bro, my friends make fun of me. They're like, bro, raw dogs, hot dogs. I just eat, I eat hot dogs plain, and they think that's insane. But I don't know. I just like plain hot dogs. I really like barbecue sauce and steak sauce.
Okay.
And I'll put those on a lot of things, not everything, obviously, because that would be crazy. But like, I like for my fries, I like A1 or barbecue sauce.
Are you like a sweet barbecue sauce guy or a vinegary
Yeah, I
guy?
got a heavy sweet tooth. If I'm feeling a little bit more sophisticated, I'll have some A1. You know what I mean? Steak sauce.
Okay, so how did you find out you were an adult child?
After lots of seasons of denial and stuffing, it was actually, I think I was in college and I was like confused as to what to do with my life because I was really wanting to get into like production, like recording and like live sound. My dad did that sometimes and I really enjoyed that. And I went to a school that had communication, mass communication specifically, but it wasn't geared towards that, and I was like, I don't know if I really. And a couple of my close friends were counseling majors, and I started reading a couple of their books, and I was just like, that they had for class, and I was like, this actually feels a lot more like me. And I realized like a lot of the reason why I wanted to do that route was because I wanted to influence people and have people experience the kind of connection that I felt with music or worship and the connection to God specifically. And I was like, I just feel like I would do so much better in interpersonal spaces. Like that's actually feels like more what I'm
My
called
jam.
to, or yeah, more my jam. And as I did that, I was just like kind of realizing like, oh shit, like these books are like what my family was like. Like the things that they're writing about. And it was just kind of like some aha moments in that. And then over the next few years, it kind of unraveled like in different ways. I just started to see the impact that, yeah, my dysfunctional family had on me because of what I was left with. And I think I noticed that pretty in a big way. Like my body shut down on me and I was like extremely dissociated, like living in the third person. And a lot of crazy symptoms. And also just this like chronic rejection complex, victim complex. And I think that I had tied it to because I had such a chaotic high school experience that I thought it was, and my dad passed and my mother was like basically permanently institutionalized and my brother was like in and out of jail and homeless and all this kind of crazy shit. And I was just off of college, you know? And I just thought at the moment that it was maybe just all of those things. But I started to peel back the layers. I realized it started a lot earlier than that. So.
Had you ever been in therapy before, like prior to having those realizations?
No, like my form of therapy was
God.
church. Yeah, it was God. And because my parents didn't really believe as much in that, like the Jesus Bible were more sufficient for those things, right? But you know, there's a cultural thing, I think,
Absolutely.
in this, I think maybe in the South specifically, that rejects, you know, counseling or psychotherapy,
Yeah, as being a
because
bad thing.
Jesus should be sufficient for you with
Absolutely.
scripture. Yeah.
And so was for the with like the physical symptoms and the body stuff, like did it come on gradually or did it hit you like a truck?
Okay, so the first time that I noticed it was after my dad died, or
And you
it
were
was
how
right.
old?
I was 17, so there was like this. Actually, this is so weird. I think I've always felt a deep connection to God, and there was a moment when I was in Brazil, and like those 2 years building up to that were like so filled with. I don't know, like there's these moments of, I just knew that there was, because I think there was a lot of wrestling within me in middle school and a lot of yearning to connect with God and experience him in tangible ways. And I start to actually experience those like very viscerally. Like a few come to mind, like where like it felt like I couldn't even feel my body look in a good way. Just like zen, you know, just like I feel like I'm in heaven, like I'm on cloud nine, like there's something, like I'm on drugs, like it feels so good, like it's hard to even describe it, the amount of like Zen peace that I felt, typically after like these really intimate, you know, worship times on retreats and things, but I just knew that there was God, and I was like kind of probably in like a firefighter way, just kept trying to replicate that and look for that. You know, like this is going to heal me, which really is kind of a way of like spiritually bypassing. But you know, I learned that later on. But when I was in Brazil, I was like seeking that connection again and again, you know, and kept feeling that and feeling connected to God. And then all of a sudden, it was just like a moment and there was like nothing. It was like a severing. And I was just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, where'd God go? And I just couldn't connect with him. And then I got back. I came to the airport and it was just my dad and like my mom wasn't there. And he told me that my mom had been institutional, or she got sent to the psych ward because she had a manic episode. And I think that that severing was that moment that I sensed, which is kind of crazy. But I've just always been like empathic like that, like I could sense shit. And it's just really interesting, and I don't know what to do with that, but it's just like,
I'm the same way with my mom.
just noticed, yeah, we have like sensors, and I had that from my brother a lot. Like I always knew when he had alcohol or drugs in the house, or you know, anything. Like I just felt it. I knew he was up to some shit, you know. And that kind of internal compass got really, that I had always kind of led my life with, got really disrupted, and I think that was probably the most, like, because trauma isn't what happens to you, it's what you're left with, right? Like, and I think that I lost a lot of my internal compassing due to all these events that happened. But there was another, you know, it was like that happened, and then my mom throughout my high school experience was in and out of the hospital. Like, if she was in the hospital, she was because she was manic and couldn't be managed, and if she was home, she was like zonked out on, you know,
Meds.
heavy meds that were sedating her, so like heavy depression, right? And so, and then my brother's in the house doing drugs and sleeping around and doing whatever, you know, and my dad's just sitting there on his laptop trying to work and basically dissociated out of his mind, not knowing what to do. And I'm just here like trying to be a good kid and not disrupt everything. And there was a lot of loneliness in that time, and it was just kind of like events just kept building. Like I had always played baseball, and then I like stopped because I couldn't handle the emotions of it, like feeling, yeah, there was just a lot and like just so much loss. And I feel like I lost my best friends too because they went that route of like sleeping around and rock and roll, you know, and like I couldn't go there,
Rock and
and
roll.
especially after my like my what,
Rock and roll.
yeah, you know what I mean, the rock and roll lifestyle. I think it probably would have been good for me to, like, you know, let loose a little bit, but I was so entrenched in that, you know, I gotta live righteously lifestyle and live what God would want me to do. But there was a lot of shame in that. But by the time that my dad passed,
And was
I
that
couldn't.
unexpected?
Yeah, it was a pretty tragic event. I won't go into the details of it, but unexpected. But it was because of his mental illness that led to that. And it was like it kind of was like the nail in the coffin of my emotions. I just couldn't, like, I had to force myself to cry when he died. I couldn't feel it. It's still hard for me to feel that. And
And
it's
that's
still
when you were 17.
yeah.
So you were a senior in high school.
Yeah. I think, and it was, I think maybe the hardest part is like, I want to care, but like, my heart had already turned off towards him because he was so disconnected from me. Like, he chose to kind of deal with things in his own way and kind of just didn't show up for me when I really needed it to. And I can like sit back and I can realize all the things that were coming up for him and all the things he had to manage, but like that didn't change the fact that like he kind of forgot that you had a kid there too in the house that really needed you. So just a lot of pain in that season. So I like couldn't feel anything for like 6 months, like just couldn't feel emotions. And then I was sitting in a worship service. And I felt the presence of God again, and then I like just melted. I like had like a whole like scream cry thing, and that's been kind of a trend, or was a trend for a while. Like I couldn't feel, and then I would feel the presence of God again, and I would cry again. And so God kind of became my safe place to process all the shit that had happened. But I think he also got a lot of the anger, a lot of the rage, because I think I looked to him for everything. But circling back, so when I, you're talking about the body things, I got back from another mission trip. So it seems like the backside of mission trips are fucked for me. So I got back from mission trip, and the girl I'd been dating, we were best friends for a couple years, and then we dated for almost a year, and I was planning on marrying her. Like I, you know, hadn't. I couldn't see the levels of like codependency, and like, you know, it wasn't a good relationship, but I thought that it was. But it didn't change the fact again that like there was a deep felt connection with her, that losing her also meant losing like the life that I had
Envisioned to
wanted
you.
to build with her and the things that I wanted to do with her. Like there was a lot invested in that, and it felt like I lost my dad again. And on top of that was like all the ways I didn't know this, but they like the mission organization, they didn't want me and her together. And so they, one of the leaders brought me on just to test run me to see if we would be, if I would be good enough for her, because
Was
they
she
didn't
like heavily
want.
involved in it?
Yeah, she was like a core part of their leadership. And so even after meeting me, like she was, and she told me this later, like my ex-girlfriend told me that like she was trying to break us up the whole summer, that summer that we were over there. And so
Where were you?
I was in China, Japan, and which is just so backwards. You know, it's very spiritually abusive, very controlling. The way they handled it and the way they treated me was very like a, almost like a pawn, you know, in their game. And I just left. That's, and she, like one of the leaders suggested we break up, and she did. And I was just like,
Yeah, very culty.
it was very culty, very culty. And it took me a long time to really understand those dynamics. Like, I just took it as I messed up. I fucked up. I'm
Yeah,
bad.
you're the problem.
I'm the problem. I have to fix this. I have to fix me, because the message I got was, you need to grow up, Josh. Like, you're immature. You're insecure. You're not good enough for her. So you have work to do. You know, and that was an immense amount of pressure that I felt to change, to, because there was still the dream of us getting back together. And so like I like thrust myself into this season of like, I'm gonna work on myself and become better, and like basically search the depths of my soul to like become better. And this is, I get so like fucking fierce around the love of God versus like the this complete misconception of who I believed God is. I get so mad. I get so mad. I thought that that was God telling me to get my shit straight and like all these messages of like shame and you know like search my heart of God, like see all the wickedness inside of me, you know, like and it was just in the last few years, like the Lord, I was looking back on that season and I just kept hearing God just kind of whisper these kind of like, you know, questions like who told you to do that? Like who told you to look at the darkness inside of you? Who told you to look at the dark? And he's like, that wasn't me. And I was just like, what? It was really a mind fuck because I think I've spent so much of my life looking for what's bad because I think that's what, you know, Western Christianity taught me to do was to look at everyone's sin and call it out so we'll change. And I just really felt from God that we weren't designed to do that. We were actually never designed to look at our evil or our shame or the things that are bad with us or and others. We were actually designed to only experience the good and look at the good. And it was so, I think, relieving for my soul to feel that and hear that and, like, actually look at and know that that wasn't God that was doing that in me. But I think I felt such betrayal with God in that too, in that season, because I felt like he turned his back on me, you know, like if this is the voice of God, these people, because I think at that point, like I had equated these authority figures with the voice of God, then that means that I'm like fucked up and I'm like, you know, all these negative I am statements, right? I put so much weight in their voices over my life that it was just, yeah,
That's why
I don't
religion
even
can
know
be
how to,
so
I don't even know how
damaging.
to, yeah, I don't know how to describe how bad that season was without just saying, like, I would never wish that on like anybody. It was so painful. I mean, like, I'd have nightmares, demonic dreams at night. I would have to shake for hours before I could sleep at night because of all the like survival energy just pulsing in my system. I couldn't feel positive emotions. Like it just, it was like I had a constant headache in my body. It
When
was
was
like,
that?
so that was it. It just kind of, I think it started right when I got back from China to Japan, and
How
then it
many
just
years ago? I'm asking.
13, 14.
Okay.
I still feel the impact of it today. I still don't have my body back how I want, which is fucking hard to say and hard to look at and hard that it's like not better, but it's better than what it was, and it's better, I think, you know, in different ways every year. Yeah, it's hard to even like put a finger to, I guess, to help people understand what that is or what that's like. Like when you watch a movie, you know, like you can feel the highs and lows, like you get goosebumps, like you know, like you get pulled in. In that season, I would watch a movie and I would feel nothing. Like I couldn't connect with it. Like I couldn't connect, and that wasn't just movies, that was in my whole life, you know. It was like there was just, it was like I was moving like this like blob, you know. But it wasn't like I was in it, I was observing myself doing that, you know. It was just like crazy to not feel is to like live a life worth not worth living. And so I think a part of that is I've had to fight for my body back. I've had to fight for sensations and emotions back. Like, and I'm like, you know, even if it's sad, you know, like fuck it, bring it on, you know, because like I can't and I won't go back to not feeling. That's torture. It really did feel like torture in my own. I was trapped. And
All right, shit show ladies. Have you ever had those days where everything just feels so much damn harder than normal and you can't figure out why? I already know the answer to that question is yes. And boy, have I definitely had more than my fair share of those days and totally get just how frustrating this can be. But recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress, lack of sleep, a dysregulated nervous system. It could also be my hormones at play. And that is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz
is that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Any shit show can do it. Just answer a few questions about what you've been going through and where you're at in life. After taking this quiz, you'll get personalized recommendations to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So I took this hormone quiz myself. The quiz suggested that my body may be overloaded with estrogen, which is affecting me in all kinds of ways. And one of the recommendations that I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. Now, taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's also about investing in our healing journey. And so by taking this quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance, which will allow you to start making small, intentional changes to support you on this healing journey. Whether it's the Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So if you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find out the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
Was there a moment when you realized that I've been like spiritually bypassing and I need to go about this from like more of a trauma approach, like a trauma healing approach?
I mean, I went that route for a long time, the spiritual bypass route, like looking, basically looking to God to like feel better. Because I had had those experiences, right? Where like feeling God, and if I felt better because I was feeling God, so like that must be the solution. But I mean, that I was in that route for years, pretty hyper charismatic Pentecostal stuff, and I still think that there's truth and reality to what I experienced, but my heart posture in it wasn't helpful, you know. Looking to those experiences to heal me, I needed to. And I felt like whenever I encountered like genuine God, like he would, it's kind of how Dick describes self. Yeah. Like self won't view brokenness and bypass it or look past, you know, look. Self turns back to the exiles or the broken parts of ourself. And I think too, when I encounter God in the most genuine way, he looks back and goes to a place that, of brokenness inside of me. And sorry, I got caught up in your question.
No, I was just asking, when was it when you broke out of that and realized that you had to kind of take more of a traditional, not, well, you know what I mean, more of a trauma approach?
It was really unfortunate because it was like it had to run its course, which is fucked, you know. Like people that are caught in spiritual bypassing, like you can't tell them, it's so tricky, you can't tell them that they're doing that and on some level, or it completely, the whole house crumbles, you know, because that's, they've basically built their whole house on this being the thing. And so like to say that those things weren't God were to be that, like, you know, like that God isn't real and I'm making all this shit up and like why am I even living, you know. And so I think it was, yeah, like I just had to kind of, so to answer your question around timing, I mean, I think it was probably just in the last few years really that I kind of came out of that. I had, like, this past couple years I had to do a lot of like kind of deconstructing of those seasons and like, really feeling out like what do I actually believe, not just what I've been taught to believe, and what actually feels good when I think about God and theology and all those things. Yeah, man.
How did you discover IFS?
I had known about parts work before, but not specifically IFS. So I started doing parts work when I did the energy work that I do now, and like it was so weird. Like it would kind of happen naturally, kind of like what people talk about. Like God was.
How did you discover the energy work?
So funny thing, when I was, you know, in that season after college, or I mean, after the mission trip, I couldn't feel anything, right? Except for when I got around infants and they're crying and I would start to feel something. It's insane. And like, I would like in the space that I would usually hear God, I started hearing baby cries. And I was like, what the fuck, God? Like, you're not talking to me, but I hear baby cries? Like, the fuck? And I was so mad. I was so mad. I'm like, you're literally just, like, what is it about babies? And then I found out about this protocol that I do. And I found out they did it in the womb work. And I was like, okay. So I went to the practitioner and I said, I feel like I'm crazy. But God's only talking to me through baby cries. I feel like he's telling me to do in the womb work. And that was the first time I did a session with the energy work I do was in the womb.
What's it called?
Splunkna.
Splunkna?
So, Splunkna. So we, if you know, so we use EFT, elements of EFT, elements of EMDR. But the main therapy it's based off of or the modality is NET, so neuroemotional technique. So there's like specific algorithms. And so it's, I mean, we're using the meridian system in the body, which is what acupuncture is, chiropractic, a lot of different, more Eastern approaches work with. So, but yeah, so it really opened that moment, opened the door to realize, oh shit, like what God was telling me in that moment was like, it didn't start here, but. You know, like it started way sooner than this, and it's been building for a long time, and we have a long time to look at that. So, yeah. There was something else that you asked. I was trying to get it.
It's about IFS and parts work.
IFS, yeah. So I did parts work through Splunkna, and then IFS... I think I learned about it a bit in college, but obviously I didn't get it because I would have, like, if I had really got it back then, like, I think that probably would have changed the trajectory of my life. But I learned, I think, yeah, there was a podcast called Become Good Soil. It's attached to, like, the Wild at Heart Network, which is big in the, you know, Christian movement, I think, but. And they did a series on parts. They did a 6-part series on a podcast on parts work on IFS. And the counselor that came on to talk about those kind of things was my counselor that I got involved with. I reached out to him and got a part of this group and learned more about IFS. And I was like, holy shit, this is so good. I feel like, yeah, I know like IFS, like I really like the ability to use it with different modalities and different approaches. Like it has a morphability to it. I'm like, oh, there's a perfect word for that, but it's so, I deeply resonate with a more of a humanistic approach to counseling, you know, client-centered. And I think that that's one of, if not the best modality IFS is for treating people, different parts of people, with the utmost respect and honor, and believing that each person has the innate ability to heal. And I think that Dick does a really good job at facilitating that. And I think, to me, here again with this, just like, I think it's one of the biggest lies in the world to believe that we're depraved, you know, that we are not. I think we look a lot more like God than we look like sin. And to look at the sin is to fall into the trap that the enemy set for us. We're not made to, you know, be stuck in sin and looking at sin and focused on sin all the time. Fuck that. You know, we're made for beauty. We're made for love. We're made for desire. We're made for joy. We're made for heaven, you know? And, yeah, I think the IFS just beautifully sees each person's dignity and holiness and purity and calls that out. And I think that's so much more Christ-like than what we currently do. So I know I keep talking spiritual things, but that's just so much of my history.
It's beautiful. It's been, you're speaking your truth.
Yeah.
Do you have any relationship with your mom?
She passed as well.
And was the mental illness always present?
Looking back, I can see yes. I think it wasn't as apparent to me because it was just what was normal to me.
Uh-huh.
My mom on her best days was, like a social butterfly. Everyone loved her. Never met a stranger. Like she's chatting up everybody, all the time. Like I hated going grocery shopping because mom's always going to talk. And my dad was very, I think on his best days was smartest, one of the smartest guys I've ever met. Very intuitive, very, very kind-hearted. But both of them didn't know how to look at their own shit and very much avoided it and spiritually bypassed everything. So always going to church, always, looking at scripture for everything and not really ever owning up to, or very rarely owning up to like my issue in things or looking at hard things or conflict. And I think that that led to different moments that I remember where they would have, breakdowns, basically. There was like probably five or six big of those big ones in my childhood where they would have to get sent to a psych ward.
Both of them?
Different at different times. I think that they never had those moments together. It would always be one or the other. But I noticed, looking back, like there was a steady mania to my mom, and there was more of a steady, probably depression to my dad. But my mom would very much flip-flop, and my dad had more of a steady depression, but would, he'd get angry, and he'd like, there was no tolerating any kind of talk back to my dad. And yeah, I mean, there were some moments like my mom's like, the first memory I have of that happening, I was probably 6 or 7 at the time. Like, I think we woke up, me and my brother, and we look in, open the door because we hear screaming, and my mom's like on the back of the bed, and my dad's like 300 pounds. He's like a big dude, and he's like barely, and she's probably like 150, but she's like barely holding her down, and she's like, "You're Satan, you're the devil," like just crazy screaming, like, and both of their manias turned into schizophrenic, but it was always spiritual. It was always like heaven or hell or whatever. And just like I mean, we had to like figure shit out. We had to like go talk to our friends that were down the street and like call them a while. Like I was like, it was like, I'm not prepared for that. 6 years old, like just crazy. But it was moments like that, or my dad would be more like he'd go off in the woods thinking he's hearing God. And then he'd come back with leaves all over him and like mud and like he was in the woods, like just like not there, like my mom, I think, would just get mad. It was like all the things that she'd bottled by just trying to be this nice person, like all the anger that she never felt or would feel comfortable sharing would come out when she was manic. And then my dad would just like, I don't know what would happen, like his eyes had like glossed over. It was crazy to witness. Like it was like he wasn't there. He's like he's it's just like there was nothing to his eyes. Like before he died, that was one of the craziest things that I've ever seen, was my dad's eyes were blue, but it was like they turned white and like there was no personality there. And I don't know if that was spiritual or like what, but it was one of the creepiest, craziest things I've ever seen, or probably
He was a White Walker. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I mean, that might be like the one of the best things I could attribute it to. Yeah, like it's crazy. Yeah.
Do you know much about their upbringings?
Yeah, I know my grandma, may she rest in peace, was very abusive to him and his siblings. He was the oldest of five, and I think he got the brunt of it, of her abuse. And then my mom, my grandma as well. It's interesting, both sides of the family, moms were very abusive, or like, I wouldn't say necessarily my mom's mom was as a, she just had really extreme forms of punishment, like silent treatment stuff. And yeah, she had her first, I think episode late college. She had a bipolar or a manic episode.
Your mom or your grandmother?
My mom.
Your mom.
Yeah. So, but I think both of them carried ways that they didn't know what to do with and couldn't, look at. I tried to be there for my mom, and she wouldn't look at any of her shit. Even like the counselor. I mean, it was like playing ping pong with the doctors, you know? Like nobody could figure her out. Or like, and every different doctor is giving her different levels of medication, and she's never wanting to talk about her stuff, so we just gotta go with the meds, right? You know? You just gotta do some chemistry and brew the potions, and you know, then we'll figure it out, and then she'll be better, right?
Well, you've gone through so much, and I do think it's really commendable and inspirational. Just I think that when people do kind of grow up in more fanatical type, have those fanatical type religious experiences to be able to come to know and have your own personal relationship with God, because I think that people can go the other route. And so I think that that's really beautiful that you've been able to get there.
I get really sad when I see that happen. People like, turn away from God because I just see him as like the best friend, you know, the best kind of person you'd want around, and to see how much, I guess, misrepresentation I feel like there is of God, just seems so, it's just so sad to me, and probably equally parts infuriating. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I feel very thankful and I think proud of myself that I've had the cojones to go there with God, like go toe to toe with him and be like, bro, fuck you for letting this happen. And to get engagement from him and not, you know, sense his shying away from that, but actually like, you know, like almost like a brother in arms, like, I got you, you know, like, let's duke it out, bro. Let's go, you know? And like there's just that level, I don't know. It feels like there's that brotherly love that I have with Jesus that's like, yeah, fuck you too, you know? Like I don't know, there's just like there's a joy there and a humanity there I feel with God that's kind of demystifies things. And it's just like, what if it could just be that simple? Like a good friend. So
So, what do you feel like you're focused on now? Just building a life?
yeah, it's so interesting you say that. I mean, that's literally what I was thinking about today with God. Because I was like really kind of stuck this past week and like thinking about all again, kind of like, oh, I'm 35 and I don't have this and I don't have that. And, you know,
Can't
it's like,
relate.
and then it's like, well, what do you want? What do you want? Let's create it together, you know, like let's create it. And then there was also, I can't remember the scripture, but like there was this time for, you know, for planting. And there's a time like you don't worry about the weeds, you just plant. And I felt like that was more the energy that I was sensing from God is like, it's not time to worry about all the weeds. Like you're so focused on the weeds, you're not planting anything. Like, let's plant some shit. You know, like let's focus in on what you want and let's build it. I think it's my impulse to focus on the shit and fix the shit internally, but I actually think the most beneficial thing for me in this season, which is hard for me, is to focus on the good and focus on building a life that I want to live and forcing myself to smile because I know that that will help me feel more joyful.
You should see me like
You
deer
know,
in
but like
headlights.
I'm naturally more melancholy, right? It's an exercise for me to sit in joy, but I know that that's more of what I'm created for and who I really am at my core, and that's more of the burden that I carry in my life or the fatigue. And so like centering more into joy, centering more into desire, forcing myself to be excited for things and like working through that, like I do tapping stuff and like tapping through the resistance of me being happy, you know, or the resistance to what I want. So it's a lot less focus on the negative, a lot more focus on like forward and the good things.
I feel like I just had that shift too of like let's like focus on abundance and like joy and fun, and let's start living life and from the standpoint of like money's coming, good things are coming. And
I mean, it's like manifesting, right? Like the more religious part of me is like, don't say that word. But like, you know, it
It's
really
all
is
energy.
reality
It's all
to, yeah,
energy.
to attraction and to call into yourself and call into your life the things that you want.
And
I'm
deserve.
focused on those things. Yeah, and
And
deserve.
are worthy of.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Three things you like about yourself.
I like
Your
that
ketchup aversion.
No, I like that I'm curious. I love that I'm curious. I like that I'm in some ways innocent or feel like pure, you know? I guess maybe in, I'm not, childlike, maybe better language for that, childlike. And I like that I'm genuine or sincere.
What if you're like, I like that one time that I thought I liked honey mustard?
I don't. I reject that memory.
One time. Hope or dream for the future?
I really want like a homestead, like kind of more on the lines of coming to me. Like people living together, commune kind of thing.
The shit show commune, yeah.
So but living in communal, you know, in a communal way and having hosting like retreats or like maybe even like having a building. So one thing, no, I'm going long. Sorry. Thanks.
Go for it.
But with the experience of seeing my mom depreciate within the system, and I worked off and on for like 6 years in inpatient facilities for at-risk youth. Just God, it's so poorly handled. People don't know what to do with people that are mentally ill, you know? Especially with the system, like, and the government's really bad. Like, private's better, but it's not a lot, whole lot better. But like, I know having like nutrition is huge, and like they're not getting quality food, you know, and they're not looking at the root issues. It's mainly just prevention, you know, like, or survival, like just people alive. It's not really looking at the root of issues. And so it's since that time, it's been a dream of mine to like, what would it look like? I don't know. I don't know what it would look like. I don't know how it would be funded. I have some ideas, but like the dream is to have a safe place for people that are mentally ill, kids or adults. I'm not sure which yet, but I think my
I
heart
love
is
that.
kids. Just having a safe place to come and heal and get shit out and talk things through. Ugh.
Maybe a little bowling.
Huh?
Maybe some bowling.
Yeah, some bowling. Fucking A, man. Yeah, there's so much of my heart in that, I think, for kids.
Yeah.
Little guys. Yeah.
This has been awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I love getting to know more about you. I appreciate all the vulnerability that you've shown up with, and I think you've given all other people courage to do the same. And just say it like it is. No sugarcoating, no fronts, just your truth.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.